We are so glad to have live right now over the world. It's Pastor Jason Kopta, who pastors a wonderful church right here in Avon Park, Sebring Lake Placid. And we got some calls coming in, so hold on, callers. We'll get to you as soon as we can, all right? Yeah, it always happens when you try to get somebody on, they want to call. It's probably someone trying to sell me, you know, a pastorate somewhere. All right, Pastor Jason, glad you're here today. Welcome to Grace Point Radio and the Freedom Program. Welcome today.
Oh, Pastor Zimmer, it is great to be on your program today. I enjoy listening to your station and your program, and it's an honor to be with you. And when you asked me the other day to come on, just everything inside of me leaped. And so I'm thankful and joyful to spend some time with you, my brother.
Well, that's great. That's good to know that you were joyfully and that's what you were doing in the parking lot. I wondered what you were doing there. I wasn't sure, but now I know. You're leaping and jumping and ripping and all right. And thank you for the endorsement. What I need you to do one day, I need you to write or record and send it in, and I'll make it one of our endorsers. All right. You do that, Jason. We're glad you're here. Jason, you pastor a great church. I had the privilege of being the other day with you because of the homegoing of Nan, and it was just exciting. Not the situation, of course, but
yes,
it was exciting to be there with you and would meet some of your people. And what really touched me is that some of the folks there came up to me and they said, "Oh yeah, I listened to the programming." I said, "Oh, that's great." Then they said, "Now I know what you look like." And they went, "Oh." And I felt that way. I said, "I know. I used to do television all the time. I did all kinds of broadcasting, commercial." And they said, "You have the face for radio." And so I've been there ever since. So here we go. Amen. Oh, yeah.
I'm just going to laugh at that one and move on. So.
Yeah. A lot of people think, I know this is an interview about you, but a lot of people think I look like Henry Winkler. And
you know what? Yes, sir. I see that. I can see that resemblance.
And I told Henry the other day, someone said to Henry, "Hey, you look like Ron Zimmer." And he goes, "Yes, I heard that." So there you go. There you go. Oh, yeah. I have a fun time broadcasting. Amen. The joy of the Lord is my strength, and I get plenty of it. Glad you're here today. Jason, tell us about your church. There's a lot of people always listen all the time, and there may be somebody in the general area that may want to come visit you one day or meet you or something. So tell us something about you, your family, your ministry, and your church. Okay.
Sure. You know, born and raised, we've been here a very long time. I'm sixth generation Floridian here, Florida cracker. That's a good topic one day we could talk about. His for Life Ministries, we're at 19 South Lake Avenue there in Avon Park, Florida. And our services are on Sunday morning at 10 a.m. We start on time. When we finish, we don't know. We give room for the Holy Ghost to work. So we are a full gospel ministry. And then we have Wednesday night Bible study that starts at 6:30, and that's very interactive. I'm one, I don't run from questions. I take people's questions as we go through and study the Word. And then also we have other Bible studies that go on Fridays. There's different ones. And our website, His for Life Ministries.com, you can go on there, actually .org, and you can go on there and find out more about us. You know, growing up here in this area, I knew that there was a call on my life. I never thought I would be a pastor, never wanted to be a pastor. But like, you know, Amos, when he says I was, you know, minding my own business. I was there taking care of my father's sheep, and I was under the sycamine tree, and the Lord took me. And so I can relate to what Prophet Amos, what he said there. So,
amen, amen. And here you are now pastoring a great church.
Yes, sir.
A great church. Yeah, that's wonderful. Tell us about, people may not know who you are. I do, and your family. Tell us about your family. And, you know, sometimes you say, okay, I sixth generation Floridian. Wow. All right. And you're one of the rare breeds, like my wife, who's a 100 generation. And my family's on my side has been in Florida since the 1700s. So so we have something in common there. Tell us about your family, Jason.
Yeah, just like what you said, you know, my family's been here since the 1700s. They came, you know, when they came in, and back when Florida was a territory. And, you know, they helped carve out Florida, and definitely the Central Park. You know, they were there in the Indian Wars, and then during the Confederate Wars, they were head of the cavalry. So they helped gather up all the Spanish cattle that were left here and brought them up out of the Everglades for the Confederate Army. You know, and then they settled in this area. And also my family helped settle Avon Park, and where I live now, I live on the homestead that was homesteaded. And drive the road every day that my great granddaddy and my grandma put in as you leave Avon Park going out towards the bombing range. There was no road out that way, so they developed and put that road in that everybody, most people drive when you're going out towards the bombing range.
So Avon Park is all your fault?
Pretty much, you could say that. So.
Okay, all right. All right, so when I look on Avon Park, I'll go, oh, Jason, is that what I should do?
That's exactly what you should do. But, you know, there's a pioneer spirit in all of us. And if we look back into our heritage, there's a pioneering spirit. And that's just something I want to just speak to the people today. If you know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, there's a pioneer spirit. Spirit within you. Stop settling for the same old, but let that pioneer spirit within you, let it move you forward and continue into a deeper relationship with our Lord and Savior, Jesus.
Oh, that's great. That's great. That's a good way to express that pioneering spirit. That's wonderful. You know, Jason, we have a world that is, we were talking before we went on air, that is so different. Changes every day. Someone was talking to me the other day about the generations are so different. Some of the generations have never seen a record player or a record the way we know it, or a phone that is connected to a wire, and they think differently, and they talk differently, and their attitude is different. And they were saying that because of the COVID shutdown 5 years ago already, that things were changed and the next generation came along. And to minister to the generation, we really have to ask the Holy Spirit to guide us and lead us, because these young people, young adult, they just don't think like the generation. I mean, the greatest generation is World War II. Then the boomers, and then the busters, and the millennials, and the Z's, and the X's. And here we are years later, and what I'm seeing is that when you try to deal with these young people, they're totally different than the way of the generation prior. So we're four generations already into the lifespan, and even the busters are not having children. So have you noticed that? Yeah, the busters are having children. There was, you know, the boomers, and then there was the busters. Well, the busters are our parents and almost becoming grandparents already.
Yes. Yeah. You know, and here's something that has stayed true through time, Pastor Zimmerman. People don't want to know how much you know until they see and know how much you care. That's one thing that has not changed. And also, everybody wants love, and everybody is drawn to love. But here's this, how do we get that out? You know, what I've seen in this generation, you know, that you're talking about is they want to be heard. But us of an older generation, we're quick. We want to tell everybody what we know. But if we want to bring in this generation, we need to listen to them, you know, and hear what they have to say, and meet them on a level and show them the love and respect. And then with that, then that will begin to draw them up higher into that place that where God wants us, and we desire to see the generation be.
You know, that's so true. And we see what's going on in this generation. You know, for those that are listening, this has not been rehearsed. We did not say this is what we're going to talk about. We're just talking. This is no rehearsal. No, we say this is no outline. There's nothing like that. So we're just talking. And as the Lord leads us, you know, this generation is trying to find answers. And they're trying to find answers in the wrong places, of course. And
yes,
what I've seen is that this generation has been indoctrinated by the course of the world, by what the world thinks, friends think, atheistic professors, they're called influencers, which is an interesting term. Someone gets on, you know, some kind of social site, and they become an influencer, and they have 500,000 followers, and they influencing those individuals, which will influence that many more, and one person. And I heard about I'm an influencer. What are you influencing? And it's a negative thing, and we need to be influencers and influencing for Jesus. We have to say, okay, let me influence you a little bit, and let me show you what you need to know about the Lord and show Jesus.
Yeah. And thinking in that, and, you know, also previous what you said, our generation and the generation before us, we were so work-driven, trying to push our own agenda, that we have forgotten about the up-and-coming generation. We got so focused on ourselves, you know, and listen to me, my brothers and sisters in Christ. I'm on the church. Listen, we get so caught up in our programs and wanting to build our little world, and look at us, we push people away instead of drawing them in. Are you following me?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. That's good insight.
So with this generation, now they have raised themselves. And now with all the technology, they're out and they're gathering information. You know, it's all electronic. You know, we do it. You can talk into your phone, and then now this pops up. And now I was talking with a gentleman yesterday, talking about what all this AI stuff. And now, come on, we got pastors that are getting into a place, and AI is writing their sermons.
Wow. And, you know, and that's the AI. according to some influencers, unquote, that AI is going to, in a few years, take the world over. Because the AI, all you got to do is bang, and there it is. Bang, there it is. And the AI is doing our thinking for it. But, you know, to me, it may be a positive thing because we can influence the world through AI. Everybody's saying, okay, it'll be, do this. I understand about writing the sermons, but we can say, okay, let's do something that can reach the world through this technology. Because let's face it, look in the generation from the boomers, look at the generation. I mean, some of our parents and some of our grandparents, they were around when the model car came out. Sure. And they lived till they walked on the moon. And the technology is going so quickly, and it's very difficult to catch up with it. You know, they say if you don't know how to work something, ask a five-year-old, they'll know, you know?
I've got some grandkids that are like that. And so with that, all right, so we can harness, okay, the technology, you know, what the Bible talks about, what the devil meant for destruction, God can take it and turn it around for good. You know, so yes, we need to, you know, Paul talked about when in Rome, what do as the Romans do. But we need to keep a standard in that. And Jesus is that standard, and don't compromise. So how come we're not seeing, this generation in there, because they've seen so much compromise in the church, in the body of Christ, and there's no difference than the church and what's going on in the world. And they go, well, what's the difference? I can keep on living my life like I'm living my life. I don't see any change. You know, you're still self-centered and self-driven instead of being Christ-centered, you know, and God's plan and purpose-driven. Does that make sense to you?
No, it does, because the very fact, people do what people want to do, and what has really concerned me in recent weeks, since the new year, is zeroing in on the word transformation. Transformation is totally different than salvation, in my opinion. I'll tell you why.
Oh, come on.
Because people say, well, I'm a Christian, I'm saved. I was reading just yesterday about how people, you know, consider themselves Christian, but there's no change, there's no transformation. Mm. Carl Richardson, in his program Oasis, a great program that is award-winning, was talking about that right before I went on the air at 10:55 Eastern, where he talked about the Christian church, and he was going back into history here, and how Christians act the same way outside the church to those that don't go to church. There's no difference. You can look at a person A, and they act just like person B. But person A sits in a pew on Sunday, and person B goes to the beach. And their lifestyle are the same. And I said, you know, thank you, Carl. And we run Carl every day. And I said, thanks, Carl. And with that in mind, because there's no transformation, there's been salvation, quote unquote, but their life hasn't changed. It just hasn't. They do what they want to do, go where they want to go, act the way they want to go, speak the way they want to speak. And there's never been a transformation. And Carl's right. And I've been, the Lord's put on my heart about this in the new year, about framework and the framework of Christianity. There must be a transformation in the believer's life, in the believer's life. What do you think about that?
Yes, because, so here's this. We're putting out false finish lines.
Oh, there you go.
There's we set these finish lines out. You know, we're running for a feeling instead of the transformation.
Understand.
And we want God on our terms. We want everything to be convenient.
There you go.
And so these are a false finish line. So, I come into church and I'm here, for a moment, and I got a goosebump. Well, the Holy Ghost, he's more than just goosebumps. You know,
yeah.
He is the one who gives us life. He is that, revealer. And, and here's this church and if we continue on in that, if you allow me, there in the Song of Solomon over there in, I believe it's in chapter 5 over there, it talks about how the husband, he goes there and he goes to knock on the door. Okay, but the bride, she is there in the chamber, but she's already took her makeup off. She's already got her nightgown on, okay? She's already washed her feet, it talks about. But she hears him knocking on the door. But she's like, I don't want to get up. Don't you know what time it is? You know, you're bothering me right now. My program is on. You know, I'm on TikTok right now, and you're interrupting me, you know? But then the knocking quits, and finally she gets up and she goes to the door, and all that is left is just a scented doorknob.
There you
but
go.
Yet she calls for the husband to come back, but he's not turning back because she didn't get up and answer the door.
You know, what insight there? What insight there to what's happening about the bride of Christ being ready to go and ready to serve and everything else. And we have to look at that because I believe if we're not careful, the apostolic church and the apostasy is very real that's going on now. And I believe that. We can see it. We can see it. Everybody's complaining, well, after COVID, they didn't come back to church. No, because they got interested in other things.
There it is.
And the bride of Christ was, because of the situation and because of the circumstances, got their mind on something else. And that's where they are. They're on something else. And the decrease in the churches, I was reading that some of the churches went down 17, 18, 19%. And they went away. And they're not even interested. And especially the younger generation, the young married, they got so much to do. They have a child and they're working. And why go to church? I'm not interested in that anymore because I need to do what I need to do. And that's that self-centeredness, Jason, you know?
Well, here's this. So let's go back and let's revisit, and if you allow me just a moment to unpack that word transformation.
Sure.
And I want to just talk about my life because I really can't talk about your life or our neighbor's life, but I can talk about my life because I know my life. And, you know, I grew up in the church and, mainstream denomination. And, you know, my daddy was a song leader and head deacon there in a particular denomination. And I was in church all the time, but when I became a teenager, you know, I was doing what I wanted to do, so I thought, you know, and drinking and, you know, and smoking a little weed and that type of stuff, and so some of the other deacon's kids.
Yeah.
Come on, somebody.
Yeah, behind the church, right?
Yeah, we brought along with me.
Yeah.
But they were up on the platform, you know, singing, you know, the specials and things. But I had this one Sunday school teacher, and his name was Leland Young. will make me tear up thinking about him. He followed us all the way through, you know, to us boys. And Pastor Ron, he had this message, and every Sunday he brought Revelation chapter 3, you know, talking about being lukewarm. And he gave that to us boys every Sunday, year after year after year. And one day I walked out of the Sunday school, getting ready to go across the street into the church service. And I said, I'm not going over there today, Lord, because there's no change. And I said, these people don't act like they know me here, but Friday and Saturday, they want to be my best friend because, you know, I can get the beer and the weed. But I said, Lord, I'm going to go off and I'm going to be cold. But when I come back, I'm going to be on fire. You see, I allowed man to rob me of my relationship with God.
There you go.
So this is where I speak to the church right now. You are, because of your lukewarmness, because of your playing, you are robbing the world. You're robbing your son, your daughter, your brother, your sister, your husband, your wife, your best friend, your neighbor. You're robbing them of a relationship with Jesus because they're looking at your life. And if you're not walking the walk that you talk about, they're watching and you're robbing them. And so here it is for the transformation. I'll speed this up. And so one day I'll come back on and I'll be glad to share my testimony, 20-something years and drugs and all that. God did a study in my life. But there's the verse that got a hold of me. It's of Romans 12:2. You know, be not conformed to this world any longer, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Conform something, we know we can take a piece of paper and put it in our hand and wad it up, and it conformed to a ball inside of our fist. But if something is going to be transformed, you've got to get down on a molecular level and change it. You ready for this? From the inside out.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Wow, this is good preaching, Jason.
This is my life. And when I came back to God, I said, transform me. And then the process of sanctification, that's an ongoing work of transformation. You know, just the other day, I'm like, you know, some jealousy, come on, begin to rise up inside of me. And I said, no, that's not supposed to be there. Lord God, do a work in me. Show me, you know, I choose to love. I choose to forgive. See, I want that transformation. And we got to be hungry and thirsty for righteousness and the things of God. You know, if we want to see change around us, it first must happen inside of us.
Absolutely. And I'll tell you how transformation, in my view, happens. It happens when we step inside the veil. And when we get inside the veil in the Holy of Holies, close to God, and the Lord takes that veil and he opens up himself to us, and we look and behold Christ, and we look and behold the Holy Spirit and the Father in a way that does something, the molecular structure in our lives. And when we go inside the veil, that's what happened when the high priest went into the Holy of Holies. He came into contact with the holiness of God, and it transformed him. Like Moses, when he went up the mountain and he came down, the Bible says that his face was shining, that he had to put a napkin over his face, a cloth, to cover up the glory of God. That was transformation, and the people at the bottom of the hill noticed that. They noticed the transformation in Moses. Why? Because he got into the presence of God, and you can't get into the presence of God, really get there, without being really transformed. You can go to church, never get into the presence of God, just go to church. It's another meeting, another Sunday. Let's chalk up another one. And you can go out and go and do something else and have a meeting. It's not the meeting. It's the presence of God in the life that changes the believer.
Ooh. And so here we go back into the generational thing. They're looking for truth. Jesus is truth. And truth will captivate them. Truth will hold them. They listen, this is a smart generation.
Brilliant.
And so they see right through the heresy. They see, help me, Lord. They see through the games that are being played. They see through the jealousy, the backbiting. You go, why do I want to be a part of that? You know, but they're looking for truth. They're looking for relationships. You know, listen, don't run because from somebody who happens to have their hair colored a little different, or now, you know, they've got, you know, they're tattooed from the top of their head to the bottom of their feet. You know, God still loves them.
Yes.
Jesus died for them. Sit down and say, hey, what's your story? How'd you get all them? What, you mean you want me to do that? Yeah. Hey, what's all them tattoos mean? And just listen.
Because what they'll do, my brother, is that they'll reveal their heart.
You mean you're interested in me?
Yes.
Brother Ron, listen, how many times do we go up to people and we do this? You probably already did it several times today. Hey, how you doing? You know, are we really asking how somebody's doing? Are we prepared when we ask that question to take a few moments out of our so-called busy schedule to really listen? We say, how are you doing? Or is that just a flippant greeting? Hey, man, how you doing? Good to see you.
Yeah, well, no, see, that's especially with people that are considered non-persons. A non-person is a person that is a checkout at the supermarket. She's a non-person. They're non-people. A server in a restaurant is a non-person. Anyone that you go up to, hey, how you doing? Have a nice day. They're non-people in people's eyes. And what I do, I started this years ago. And when I first started, Margaret said, you're crazy, Ron. I said, well, you married me. And I'll go up to a person that's a non-person, and that's how they're considered. They're just there. They're non-people. Now they're talking to machines. They're there. And I'll say something like that. Hey, would you do me a favor? And they think I'm trying to talk about, you know, bring me another cup of coffee. And I say, would you do me a favor? And they said, yes. I said, would you say hello to your family on my behalf and send my highest personal regards to them? And they look at me like, this guy don't know me. This guy don't know my family. And they'll say, yes. And I'll say to them, okay, now you won't lie to me, will you? And they'll say, no. And I say, okay, I come in his store all the time, and I'm going to seek you out, and I'm going to find you, and I'm going to ask you, did you say hello to some folks, your family, my highest personal regards? One person said, well, who are you? Do they know you? I said, I am not important here. What's important is you say that to somebody, and they get this far-off look, and here's what they say. You know, no one's ever said that to me in my life. 9 out of 10 times I get that. No one has ever come and said anything. And I've had them crying in the checkout lines, and my servers were crying. And they say, because no one cares about me. And there you go, Jason, what we're talking about. It's right there.
Are you ready for this one?
Sure.
You see, now... All right, now were you there praying in the Holy Ghost, and now were you moving in the spiritual gifts, you know, that Paul talked about there in 1 Corinthians 12 and, you know, 13 and 14 in there. All right, you know, was you given an interpretation? You know, were you prophesying, you know, and operating in discernment? Now, you want to tell you what you were operating in? You were operating in compassion.
Sure. Sure. It's compassion. And it's that reaching out and saying, so what happens, I'll go back and I'll find that person. And I get in their line. If their line is 6 miles long, I stay in their line. And I get to them, and they'll say, oh, hi. Hi. I said, hi. They said, yeah, my mom and my family says hello to you. They don't know I'm a pastor. I don't get up there and jump on a box and say, look at me, I'm a pastor. That's unimportant. What is important is, did someone care about me? And I've led people to the Lord very quickly in the line checking out at Walmart with tears in their eyes, with people behind us, just quickly. And what it does, it gives me the right, and I've always said this, it gives me the right to minister to them because I've had, as you said, compassion for them.
When they hear about the love of Jesus, you ready for this? Now the Holy Ghost has something to go to work with in their life. That's all they need to hear.
Yes.
Is that Jesus loves them. And guess what? And when we as Christians, when we do that, now they're hearing, and now the Holy Ghost can go to work in their life. We all want to walk in this power. Oh, I need more power. I want the power. But, you know, there in Acts chapter 1, you know, there in verse 3, and it talks about how Jesus, there, how he had this passion, you know, because then he showed himself, but then there was this passion, all right? There's this passion and then compassion. And then we see right there in verse 8, and then we see power. Look, passion comes before power.
There you go.
You want to fully flow in the power of God, you need to be flowing in the passion and the compassion for humanity. And this is how we're going to reach this generation. All right, here we go. We're back to this. Because of the technology, all right, everybody, they text, you know, or it's not even really any more phone calls and voicemails. It's just kind of text and a few emails. And so to be able to reach this generation, we need to build that relationship because they really don't know what it's like to talk outside of a device or to have an interaction, you know? And so I've been, my own grandkids, I got 8 grandkids, and so working with them, you know, and develop them in their communication skills and just sit down, hey, sit down, let's talk to Poppy. Ask Poppy a question. And they sit there and they just look at me. What do I do? So I begin to ask them a few little simple questions. And before you know it, we got the checkers out, you know, or we got the Uno cards out, and we're just having a great time and a great conversation, you know. And so that's how we're going to reach this generation, is by building relationships little by little by little by little.
You know, and give them an alternative to what they have been taught. Give them an alternative to what they're hearing in the world. What the ungodly professors, the professors that are atheists, are trying to teach them. I had a student raised in the church go off to university and came back for holidays, you know, Christmas, whatever it was. And they said, you know, Pastor, let me tell you about the gospel. And I said, okay, tell me about it. And here's what they said. They went to this college, and the professor got up, Dr. So-and-so and such, a philosopher, blah, blah, and they said, everything your pastor told you and everything your mom and dad told you and everything your youth group told you is a lie.
Wow.
And this student said, she's raised in a church. she said that just took me and knocked me off my seat. Everything you've told me, so-and-so told me, my mom and dad told me, the Bible tells me, is a lie. And he began, over the course of classes, to tell these students that everything their mom and dad told them growing up is a lie. And what you have to do now, you have to begin to develop your own truth. That's situation ethics, is that, that's what that is. And then they, and she said, Pastor, and I said, okay, you're home, how long you're home? A couple of weeks. I said, we're going to deal with this in your life. You're going to deal with that. I said, look at your youth group there. You think that person that taught you every week was lying to you? Do you think your mom and dad that loves you and worked hard to get you an education and is paying for your education, you think they love you? Yes. I said, okay, now think of this professor that you just met the first day. You think he cares anything about you? No. Now who's lying to you? Now who's lying to you? So she went back to school and she stood up and she said, Professor, you know, I respect you as an educator, but I'm going to believe what my mom and what my dad told me, my pastor, my youth director, my friends, and what the Word of God tells me if I get a D or an F in this course. It doesn't matter. She got an A at the end of the semester because the professor recognized truth.
So here's this. So many of us in our lives, we compromise. So see, she didn't compromise. She stayed to the standard.
Correct.
And so what we compromise to keep, we will eventually lose.
That's right. That's right. That's right. Absolutely. And you lose it. And then all of a sudden, if she'd have compromised herself, and then, I mean, all her friends, you know, telling her, but she met some kids on that campus that they said, no, we're going to believe what God has said to us from all different people, all different churches. And they hung around together, and they did not hang around those that were involved in that type activity. They said, no, we're not going to do that.
And that, listen, myself and others listening out there, listen to that testimony that Pastor Zimmer just gave. That just touches me and blesses me, you know, because wife and I, we've got a son, and by the way, you know, thank you for praying for him. You know, when you pray for wayward children to come home, you know, he's there in Chicago. You know, he went to college, got into college, and he grabbed a hold of that, you know, and his mind got twisted, and he entered into that alternative lifestyle.
Understand?
You know, still trying to hold on to God. He knows that God is real. Okay, but he compromised that. Wanting to be loved and wanting to fit in somewhere. You know, and so the world, so-called, I'm doing air quotes. Now, can you see that?
Yeah.
The world, it says, we love you, we'll accept you, we will listen to you. See, we need to listen to this generation. Back in 2013, the Lord gave me a word for the body of Christ, and this is what he said, Reader's Digest version of it. He says, I'm not going to move in the masses like I did before, talking about the big gatherings. You know, when we had the big Billy Grahams and so forth and so on. And he says, you're going to see the mega churches. They are going to begin to implode on the inside. And if you look, we're not seeing those big gatherings.
And they have, they have imploded, a lot of them.
This is why. He says, because I'm bringing ministry back to the one-on-one. He says, I'm going to minister one-on-one. This is how the, ready for this? This is how the transformation.
Wow.
Is going to happen. And so with that, there in 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 10, it says the Spirit of God searches all things, yea, the deep things of God. And so what is that verse saying there? It's not that the Holy Spirit, he's looking for information. No, he is information. What is he searching for? Areas to penetrate in our life. He's looking right now to penetrate those areas in our life that need the light of God, that need that revelation. Because once we get a hold of that revelation, then that will bring about the reformation in our life. And the way that that's going to happen is this relationship, building relationships one-on-one, taking time to listen to what people have to say. And so with that, and that's what you did there with that young person there from that went to college. You didn't get upset all of a sudden. You didn't get upset, and go, well, that's not right, and come across very, angry and ready for this, and dogmatic in religion. No, you said, let's have a dialogue. I want to listen. I want to hear what you have to say. Okay, and then you brought in the truth by love.
This is good stuff, Jason. This is, let me do a station ID right here. You're listening to Grace Point Radio right now. Thank you for being here today. And we're having an interview with Pastor Jason from His for Life Ministries in Avon Park, and it's been a marvelous. And you'll be able to hear this again tonight on the Encore presentation at 8:45 Eastern right here on Grace Point Radio. This same interview will be broadcast again live tonight at 8:45 Eastern. So tell somebody about it and join tonight this program at 8:45 Eastern. It's so true, what we're talking about. We've got to win them. You just got to win them. And you don't win them, the old-fashioned way, by beating them over the head. You just don't do that. That generation, I don't know, that generation just loved to be whipped. I don't understand it.
Beat on me, stand up and let's pound on the pulpit and slap the Bible down and you're going to hell. You don't change your ways, and the altars were full.
And this generation, it's a generation that will not tolerate that. No. And they're not tolerating it. You can tell the word of God without whipping them with it.
Come on.
And using it as a sledgehammer and beating them up all the time. And they won't adhere to that. But they'll adhere to that if you love them and you care for them, like you're saying. But you tell them what the Word of God says. This is what the Word of God says. You want truth? Here it is. You want righteousness? Here it is. This is it. It's you found it. You found it. And instead of just whipping them all the time,
Yeah. So here's this. With that, we got to receive the love of the Father. We got to love ourselves in that way. So then now we can love others in that way. You can't give what you don't have.
True.
So here it is, back to that transformation. We've got to let it transform us on the inside. If I may, I was out in Alaska. A couple years ago, And there in Juneau, there's a missionary. And by the way, on their license plates, it says the last frontier. It is. I'm believing that's where there's going to be a great awakening in Alaska. You know, listen, there's missionaries all over Africa. I mean, it's saturated with the gospel. Even over in the Middle East, the gospel is being saturated over there. Even in Russia. But listen to me, church. Alaska is really the last frontier. That's where people run to get away from themselves.
They go off grid.
Yes, they go off grid. And so we're out there in Alaska. And so I meet this group of guys. We didn't know when we were doing a project out there, helping a missionary out there. And so they come in from upstate New York. And they were from a particular mainstream denomination. And they came in with a suitcase full of tracts. And I just looked at them and just kind of just went, interesting. You know, and so as we were on this project, you know, we're doing some building and some things out there. And so as we would go into the local businesses and the restaurants and all that, the locals were gravitated toward me. And my other brothers in Christ were getting mad at me because nobody would talk to them or give them the time of day. And because they're just shoving tracts in people's face and saying, you're going to hell if you don't repent. And I'm just kind of hanging out over here, maybe sitting on the bench, drinking a cup of coffee, or I left a real good tip, you know, or the waitress comes over and says, you know what, I can tell you're having a little bad day. You know, I wasn't operating in the gifts at that time. I could tell that she was having a bad day because I could just see the look on her face and, you know, and just, you know, say, is everything okay? Is something I can pray for you about? And I go, what? What is that? You know, begin just to pray and minister to people like that and build that relationship. And the Lord showed me right then, you know, that this way of doing things, trying to shove it in somebody's face, you're shoving, and as you're doing, you're shoving them away instead of drawing them in and just listening. And listen, those fellows got mad at me because people were being gravitated towards the love of God. Doesn't that sound like the religion?
Yeah. Well, let me tell you a story. My mom was raised, in New York. She's a Southerner. I mean, my family's name Hicks. You can't get any more Southern than that, okay?
No, sir, you can't.
Hicks and Searcy and Hickambottom, I mean, we're there. You know, and Mom raised, married a New Yorker during the war, and that's how come I became a New Yorker, and et cetera. And what's interesting is that they had the local butcher shop, and this guy was a real bad dude. I mean, he had the best cuts of meat in town and in the section that we lived in. I was just a little boy. And you go to a butcher shop, and everybody loved his meat and his prices and his... I mean, but he was angry all the time. He was as angry as can be. He cursed, and he did this, and he did that. And the ladies would go in there. That's back in the day where the ladies were homemakers, and they didn't work. So they went in there, and they bought their chickens and their fish and everything for the guy. So one day, he got saved. He found out about Jesus. He knew it was wrong. And he gave his life to the Lord. He changed his life. So every time he talked to somebody, he would talk with his meat cleaver in his hand because he's working. So here's what happened. Some of the ladies walked in to buy their weekly groceries, and he came out from behind the counter with that meat cleaver. And he said, I just want to tell you something. And they got scared. They thought this guy had flipped out. I just want to tell you something. Do you know Jesus? Slam it down on the butcher block. As your Lord and Savior, I want you to know it. And my mom said they all ran out of the butcher shop. The right method, the wrong way. You know, and that's a true story. So I leave the cleaver at the house, you know.
Exactly, exactly. And that's where Paul's talking about when in Rome, do as the Romans,
yeah,
as the Romans do. It means we're not compromising.
No.
You know, it's like this, look, Jesus met Peter on his level. Peter, Simon Barjona, do you love me? Yes, Jesus, you know I love you. No. Peter, do you agape me? Yes, Jesus, I phileo you.
Yeah.
Talking about the unconditional, the spirit-filled love of the Father versus our brotherly love that we know. And Jesus, you know, he said that to him three times. And then finally, Jesus, you know, as Peter answered back, yes, Lord, don't you know I love you? I phileo you? Jesus met him right there. He says, okay, I can work with that right now. He is expressing love, so I'm going to grow that love. I can work with that. And here it is, Peter, feed my sheep. You see, God will meet us on our level. And so in that, we need to meet people on their level. It doesn't mean that we're compromising, but we're going to meet them on their level and sit down. And don't talk down to people. Don't talk down to this generation. Listen, their feelings are out there on their shoulders. They don't know how to deal with emotion. Listen, let's look at society right now. This word anxiety is all over the place now. I'm even hearing people that are in their 80s and 90s, my anxiety, I have anxiety, anxiety, anxiety. You know, that was a word that was never in that generation. You know why? Because they had the wherewithal, they had the fortitude to push through and to persevere. But now, you know, this is where society has turned. Everything is full of anxiety, anxiety, anxiety. Why? Because they feel like they're not being heard. Relationships are not there. And so this is, and the enemy moves on this. And so here comes this anxiety. And so now we're seeing this sweep around the world. And I hear it in the church and in the body. It's because of the lack of relationships, the lack of love. Wow. We need to stop pushing our own agenda, but push the kingdom agenda and live in the kingdom.
Amen. Amen. Jason, it has been a joy talking to you today. And we almost talked an hour so far.
Wow. Come on.
Yeah. Yeah.
Come on. Wow.
Yeah. And it's been great to be with you today. And before we go, and Jamie Hernandez will be with us in about 33 minutes on Let's Talk Jesus. And I'm sure Jamie's listening. And Jamie will be on and everything else on the Grace Barn Radio. Again, this interview will be rebroadcast tonight at 8:45 Eastern. So if you'd like to listen again, or maybe you want to know someone that needs to hear it, just share the app with them and say, you need to listen to this interview. And they'll be blessed, I am sure. Tell us again, you know, where they can get a hold of you. If someone, you've touched a person's life today and they want to talk to you further, go to your church, where can they get you?
All right, well, here, I'm going to give out my cell phone. I mean, this is it. This is, you know, His for Life Ministries. You can also find us there on Facebook and then also on the web, His for Life Ministries. And we're at 19 South Lake Avenue in Avon Park, Florida. And my number is 863-449-0083. And I just love people, and I don't run from questions. I take questions. Pastor Zimmer, this is one thing that I say, and as I greet the people every Sunday morning, I say, listen, we don't have guests or visitors, just family we hadn't met yet.
Amen. There you go. There you go. And what time do you start your Sunday morning service?
10 a.m. That's at 10 a.m. And then Wednesday night Bible study at 6:30. And that's very interactive Bible study in there. So, and right now I just started a series last night on Wednesdays, Healing Always Comes.
Well, that sounds great. Pastor Jason, thank you so much for being here today. We appreciate it. And we'll do this again. And you still owe me a lunch.
All right. You name it. And, okay. And we're there, and we will do it, my friend.
All right. Say hello to your family and send them my best. And thank you for being here today and your time. And we appreciate it so much.
Love you, sir, and thank you for this opportunity. It's been a great privilege, and just blessings on all the listeners.
God bless you soon. Amen.
Amen.